Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with, to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Pua. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live?" "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, picking up at verse 7. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet: "I call my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he heard that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said: "He will be called a Nazarene." Verses 7 to 23, Matthew chapter 2. Lord, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the joy, the light that rests and permeates your word. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word informs us and helps us to see correctly, to see what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word let us know that even long ago, just as there were rulers who thought killing innocent children was okay, sadly, we live in a day where the same is true. We still have rulers and people in high places that think killing babies is okay, but you've clearly let us know in your word, you've told us you shall not murder. You've let us know time and time again in your word that every baby is precious, is beautiful and made in your image. Help us as the church to stand up for what we know to be right, and help us to have the courage and the grace of servants like Shipra and Pua, who stood up even in the face of possible death, but stood up for what they knew to be right because they honored you and wanted to fear you. Stir us to be people that stand for what we know is right, to stand for truth, to boldly and courageously do what we can and what you've called us to do in being salt, light, and bold witnesses for the gospel and bold witnesses for life. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd create a hunger in the church to see more of your kingdom done. Father, I ask that we would want more of your will done. Father, I ask that we would pursue scriptures, that we'd pursue truth, that we'd pursue your love and light even more every day. Father, I ask that you'd call the church to even more prayer, that we could partner with you in your will. Father, you bring light, you bring life, and Father, we want to be part of that. So Father, I ask that we'd see more and more of the church being obedient to your word. Thank you so much, Father, for your grace and your mercy that brings us into your will, that brings us into your fold. Thank you, Father, that we could never earn that, but that is just a gift that you offer to us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Let me remind all of our listeners one more time, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a great day to start the habit of reading at least no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God every single day. If you're not doing that, you don't know what you're missing. The fact is, remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time directly with Jesus, and Jesus will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him. And when you're reading the Word of God, he's reading you too. He's molding and shaping you to become more and more like him. Make it a high priority to get into God's Word every day. And parents, let's help our children by having them to read out loud to us daily. That way we know that they've had that Word planted in their hearts and their minds every single day. I want to remind our listeners once again that the website for the mobile pregnancy ministry that my wife Bertie and I are on the board for, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry, which serves in the Mississippi Delta. That website is deltapchc.org. Again, that's deltapchc.org. I want to challenge and encourage every believer listening. First, prayerfully find your local pregnancy clinic and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do to help them? I would encourage you to prayerfully consider. Just listen to what the Lord directs you to do, but in many cases, he's going to encourage you to begin to give monthly to help the ministry, to pray daily for the ministry, to volunteer, because there's so much work. And my experiences in all the years I've been a pastor and working with pregnancy clinics is that your average pregnancy clinic is poorly funded, to be quite honest. And that's a tragedy because we have lots and lots of churches. I would encourage you to do your part to both give personally, but also encourage. Talk to your pastor, encourage him to prayerfully consider putting your local pregnancy clinic in the budget because they could use your financial support and your prayers. But we're encouraging you, if you feel so led, to give to your local one as well as to the pregnancy clinic that serves in the Mississippi Delta, our clinic, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry, please do, because again, it appears to me in just talking to the staff of our pregnancy ministry, the heat's just being turned up in a number of ways. Every pregnancy clinic, every pro-life ministry needs your prayers. There's tragic warfare around the life issue that lots of people may not even begin to grasp, but they need your prayers. So we invite you once again that website to learn more about the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry and or to give financially, deltapchc.org. We hope that you will do just that. We are very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Seth Gruber. He's a Christian movie producer, and he wears a whole lot of other hats beside that, but we're going to let him further introduce himself. Seth, how are you today?
Good, brother. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Thanks for your voice, and thanks for having me on today.
Yes, sir. Honored to have you on. And as we were talking earlier, I mentioned I didn't realize altogether who you were until after I saw the trailer and realize you're a very active servant of the Lord in different ways, and I've seen a number of your, I think, podcasts and or messages that you've shared online, YouTube, and elsewhere as well. But would you take time now, Seth, to further introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll better know who you are? And then we want to dive right in and talk about the movie, The 1916 Project.
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor Joseph. Yeah, I appreciate you highlighting local ministries, including pregnancy resource centers. And that's actually my background. So I was raised in Los Angeles County. Actually been in Southern California my whole life until a couple years ago. We just moved the family closer to in-laws. But I was homeschooled through eighth grade. My mother ran a pregnancy resource center, even while pregnant with me, in the early 90s, close to Azusa Pacific University in Los Angeles County. And she was waddling around the pregnancy center, 9 months pregnant with me, loving on moms and helping save babies. She would often actually babysit some of the children whose lives she helped save as unborn babies because the degenerate deadbeat dad wasn't in the picture. And we actually occasionally would have a mom at her home or one of their kids later if they needed help. And my mom would help love on these families. And so I that's kind of just been in our DNA. That's kind of what I was raised in. I was one of the top childhood fundraisers for the Walk for Life for our local pregnancy resource center every year. I actually got a keynote that their gala when I was fresh out of college in 2014. And now I've been keynoting pregnancy center galas and for over a decade. And now run the fastest for life organization in America, the White Rose Resistance. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate all your comments about these wonderful ministries. I just got back from Mobile, Alabama, keynoting one of these galas. This month alone, I'm going to Savannah, to Galveston, Texas, and somewhere else for these wonderful centers. But I want to say this, Pastor Joseph, if pregnancy resource centers are kind of like the underground railroad, mm-hmm. then to end abortion, we also have to have Christian resistance. That's meaning right. We can't just say, well, us Christians, you know, we're pro-life and we don't want to kill babies. And so so make sure you get involved with your local pregnancy center. It's like, well, duh, right? Like that should be the very beginning. That should be like the easiest thing you could do to give to your local pregnancy center, to send volunteers from your church, to let them share about their ministry, have a table at the church. Like, of course, amen. But that's like the very beginning. And that's why I appreciate you opening up with kind of the history of child sacrifice, reading from the scriptures regarding Pharaoh, regarding Herod. As my mentor, Dr. George Grant says, brother, exposure, abortion, child sacrifice, other forms of infanticide. Mm-hmm. These were more often than not both legal and respectable in pagan societies from the earliest times. Yeah, unwanted children in ancient Rome were frequently abandoned outside the city walls to die from exposure to the elements or from the attacks of wild animals. The Greeks would give pregnant women heavy doses of herbal or medicinal abortifacients. The Persians developed highly sophisticated surgical curette procedures. Ancient Hindus and Arabs concocted chemical pessaries, literally abortifacients that were pushed or pumped directly into the womb through the birth canal. The primitive Canaanites threw their children onto great flaming pyres as a sacrifice to their god Molech. The Polynesians subjected their pregnant women to tortures, beating their abdomens with heavy stones or heaping hot coals upon their bodies. And the Egyptians disposed of their unwanted children, especially little girls, by disemboweling and dismembering them. And their collagen would then ritually be harvested for the manufacture of beauty and cosmetic creams. The more things change, the more they stay the same, brother. What we're facing is not some progressive new evil. It's a very regressive ancient evil. The belief that sacrificing children, sacrificing babies to whatever gods is going to secure for you peace, blessing, your crops will grow, your fertility will be blessed, your family will be blessed, your finances will improve. We're facing the same evil that the church has always faced. But what makes the church in America so sad today is that we wait for pro-life organizations to do the work that we, the church, ought to be doing.
Brother Seth, we're going to jump in right here. We'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Seth Gruber. He's a Christian movie producer, amongst other things. We'll be right back.
Are shaking. There is no power that can match his grace. Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see. All of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing. That he is a light shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is the light, he is the light for all the world to see.
The music of Brian and Katie Torwalt. He is the light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20 tells us, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us as your church to be your hands and feet in the world where that desperately needs to be touched by your love, your grace, and your mercy. Stir us, anoint us afresh with the spirit of boldness and courage to be the courageous, bold witnesses, again, sharing the gospel and standing boldly for life, without hesitation, knowing that there's much work to be done. Help us to be about that work. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our phone guest today is Seth Gruber. He's a Christian movie producer, the producer of the movie, The 1916 Project, amongst other things. And Brother Seth, before you go back to what you were sharing, would you take time to pray for listeners to have ears to hear whatever the Lord wants them to hear and receive today, and that they would be stirred to do, to respond exactly as he would have them to.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time. We ask for your forgiveness as a church. We repent for our apathy, for our silence, for not speaking when we should have spoken against evil, against specifically abortion. And we ask that you would open the ears of those listening this morning who tune into this incredible program with Pastor Joseph. And we ask that they would receive something even from you, that you would speak through us in this conversation to mobilize, to empower, to encourage, or even to heal those who have been involved in the killing of a child through abortion. Bless us to stand against this evil culture of death. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Seth, if you'll pick up where you left off, you shared a lot of history, a lot of background that probably many believers have never heard before but need to learn about. But would you pick up basically where you left off there?
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Joseph. Yeah, in the last segment, I was just sharing how what we're facing today with the abortion industry and really our evil culture of death is not progressive. It's actually regressive. It's a return to the kinds of activities that basically always destroyed societies and civilizations. Sexual liberation, sexual freedom, quote unquote, and child sacrifice. Okay, it's the same two evils we find in Judges 6. When God tells Gideon to tear down the Baal statues and to chop up the Asherah poles. Asherah, goddess of sex, Baal, god of child sacrifice. These two sins have been linked, brother, since time immemorial. And they're specifically the kinds of evils that when God's people participate in them, he tends to, give them over to be ruled by those who hate them. Psalm 106, by the way. And at the end of Psalm 106, God says, you have sacrificed your sons and daughters to demons. The land is desecrated with blood. Mm-hmm. And so I give you over to be ruled by those who hate you. That's at the end of Psalm 106. And so we're not just dealing with the kind of evils that we've seen in antiquity. We're also dealing with the ones that the Lord elevates as saying, you participate in this stuff, you continue this way, I'm leaving the building. You can be ruled by pagan hordes who hate you. I'll give you what you want. And so what we're facing today is really no different with the killing of babies through the abortion industry. And my point was to thank you for highlighting pregnancy centers, but also linking this with the evils that we see in the Old Testament. Because I'm a firm believer, Pastor Joseph, that there are too many 501c3 organizations in America. And I know that sounds like a weird statement. I'm the CEO of one, for goodness sake. But what I mean is I think most of these good ministries, very good ministries, are dealing with issues that the local church used to deal with, brother. That's my point, is that now believers have to launch 501c3 nonprofits to try to address injustices, to try to heal families, to try to engage the culture on various issues, when in antiquity, in the history of our faith in Christendom, that's just what Christians did at the local level, getting together to solve these issues, not saying, well, we should probably get together and start a 501c3 because, you know, the Romans are tossing children outside the city walls. It was like, no, we were just being Christians. And so what we do at the White Rose Resistance and with this film, which we're going to talk about right now, brother, is to reawaken the moral and spiritual intuitions of believers, to awaken them, to shake them out of their reverie, and to give them a vision and a game plan to engage this culture of death before it's too late. Because those who murder the unborn cannot be trusted to govern the born. And those who murder the unborn will one day murder us too, the longer that we tolerate what I think we should call, brother, the sacrament of Satan. I think that's actually what we're dealing with. And so for your listeners this morning, I just want to highlight this before we talk about my book and film, The 1916 Project, is that we're not just dealing with like one among many issues. You know, well, Second Amendment gun rights, there's First Amendment free speech, there's the border, there's marriage, there's the family, and there's about all those issues, brother, as a believer, because personnel is policy, and these ideas and policies affect human beings. But we're not just saying, like, this is just another issue. No, this is a thing that destroys societies. A nation which kills her own children is destined to die by suicide. But it's so spiritual. It's so demonic. And we do need intercessors. We need to learn how to fight on our knees, and then we need to learn how to get up and fight on our feet. And so abortion says, you must die so I can live. But Christ says, no, I must die so you can live. Abortion says, this is my body, my choice. Christ says, this is my body, and I break it for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. So with the gospel, we deal with the self-sacrificial love of Christ, willingly allowing his innocent blood to be shed. With abortion, they say, this is my body. I break you, baby, for me. I shed your blood for me. We couldn't be dealing with something more demonic, and we need the church. And so that's why we did this book and film, primarily targeted at believers.
Well, tell us about the title, The 1916 Project. What's the significance of 1916 as it relates to the subject and the mission behind both the film and the book?
So 1916 is the year, Pastor Joseph, that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, opened her first clinic in the Brownsville neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York. It was an illegal birth control clinic targeting who she called the human weeds. She called them those defective stocks that threaten the blossoming of the finest flowers of American civilization, end quote. Not my words. Those are the words of the founder of Planned Parenthood, who referred to herself as a eugenicist. Eugenics, that means the root word is good in birth, which means some people are not good in birth, according to the eugenicists. And so the elite should be able to decide who gets to have kids and who doesn't, who's forcibly sterilized and who isn't. Project is kind of a play on the New York Times 1619 Project, which very briefly basically said it came out in the fall of 2019, about 9 months before George Floyd, and then we had that crazy summer of 2020. The 1619 Project, Pastor Joseph, said basically America is systemically racist, right? Root and branch. There's nothing redeemable about America because of the history of slavery, which in 1619 is when the first black slaves came to American shores. Now, of course, slavery is an evil, 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 wicked thing. Mm-hmm. But what they're trying to say is, like, every allegedly bigoted form of evil in America today can be linked to the year 1619, because that's the beginning of the legacy of slavery in America. And so they sought to link the legacy of slavery to everything. every sort of weird form of societal evil, allegedly, that they say Black America faces today. Well, we kind of flipped that on its head and said, actually, you have to go back to 1916 to understand America's crazy culture of death today. 1916 would be really the beginning, really the first Planned Parenthood clinic, actually, and would become the beginning of one of the best-funded nonprofits in human history, the largest abortion provider in the world. The largest provider, listen to this, brother, talk about the Asherah polls, right? The largest provider of the pornographic comprehensive sex education in America's public schools. And as of last year, Planned Parenthood, that same organization, announced, brother, that they are now the second largest provider of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for America's gender-confused youth. Those would be chemically castrating drugs. So, of course, Planned Parenthood is still in the business of chemically castrating and sterilizing people, because they were part of the eugenics movement. Sanger launched Planned Parenthood for eugenic purposes, which always entails sterilizing people so that you can prevent, quote-unquote, overpopulation. That's the legacy of Planned Parenthood today. And my contention is that probably no other human being in the 20th century and no other date is more significant to understanding what the insanity of the culture war unfolding before our eyes right now than Margaret Sanger and that year, 1916. We can get into as much of the kind of dirty little secrets of the secular moral revolution as you'd like, of course. But this is not a forgotten history. It's a hidden history, which is why in the summer of 2020, Planned Parenthood, under pressure from Black Lives Matter Incorporated, canceled their founder, Margaret Sanger. They stopped giving the Margaret Sanger Award, because that was that summer of 2020 when the disciples of the 1619 Project said we had to cancel anything racist. And so, funnily enough, brother, the revolution always eats its own, right? And so the pro-abortion left started attacking Planned Parenthood for basically having a racist eugenicist founder, and they took her name off of their New York City mega Planned Parenthood clinic that used to be called the Sanger Health Center. And so we opened my movie and book with this interesting question. If they've lied to you about the patron saint of feminism, a woman they have celebrated, lauded, thrown parties for, and given awards in her name, then what else are they lying to us about? And what's the deeper, hidden, demonic, evil history of the culture of death and probably the most successful organization that has destroyed the American family, our children, and the next generation than Planned Parenthood?
And, you know, Brother Seth, I think of this, that just like with abortion is the murder of an innocent child. And, of course, no matter what you call it, whether it's reproductive freedom or health care, it's still murder. And in a similar way, Planned Parenthood has been, as you very clearly explained, it's been a wicked organization from its founding. And just because you take Margaret Sanger's name off it doesn't change the fact that it's probably the most racist organization that's ever existed and continues to be. But you change the name, that doesn't accomplish much of anything, except it changes the title, you know.
That's right. Yep, well said. Planned Parenthood was launched in 1921, brother, to talk about racism. And when they were founded, they had a founding board member named Lothrop Stoddard. This would be one of the founding board members of Planned Parenthood in 1921. Lothrop Stoddard, Pastor Joseph, buckle up, listeners. Are you ready for this? You've been lied to. He was a high official of the Massachusetts KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. In fact, he was referred to as the exalted cyclops of the Massachusetts KKK chapter. He wrote a book called The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. White World Supremacy. That's what he wanted. This racist KKK leader is the founding board member of Planned Parenthood. Now, did Margaret Sanger kick him off the board when she discovered that he was part of the KKK? No, of course she did not. He held that position for years and was so influential, and we'll set up the next segment, was so influential that he was invited to the Third Reich. That's right, folks, Nazi Germany. He was invited to the Third Reich in 1939 to have a meeting with Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, Joseph Goebbels, Fritz Sauckel, Robert Ley,
Alfred Rosenberg, I mean, high ranking Nazi officials, because they had read his books. They credited his books as actually providing the blueprint for what would eventually become the final solution. One of these high ranking Nazi officials, Hans F. Gunther, who appears in my film and book, he referred to Sanger's first founding board member as one of the spiritual fathers of Nazi Germany, one of the spiritual fathers of Nazi Germany. These folks were reading Planned Parenthood's board members, funders, financiers, and finding the inspiration for the construction of the final solution in the murder of Jews in Nazi Germany. These evils are so linked, but this has been hidden and curated from the American people, because if we were to wake up and realize this, that we're actually facing the same kinds of evils today, then the church might realize that if they don't act and get off the bench and get comfortable with being uncomfortable and join our Father on the field of battle to stand for the least of these, for those being targeted, the vulnerable, the marginalized, that we might end up facing the same heinous conclusions, the same horrific results of our silence and abdication as the German Christians did in the Third Reich in the 30s and 40s. So we're exposing all the dirty little secrets with all the citations and references to prove what's been hidden from the American people and from the church in my book and film, The 1916 Project. Go to the1916project.com to learn more.
Okay, then we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Seth Gruber. He's the producer of the movie, The 1916 Project, and the author of the book, The 1916 Project. We'll be right back. Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Seth Gruber. He's the producer of the movie, The 1916 Project, and the book, The 1916 Project as well. And he's going to share with us once again how to get those as well. Father, again, we thank you for our brother Seth, and thank you for the work and the ministry you've called him to. Lord, thank you for all of us as believers, and thank you for we who make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to be your ambassadors in this world, to speak your truth, and to do all the things you've called us to do, to show the world what the love of God looks like, and to share with the world truth that will set them free. Lord, I pray for every single listener. I pray that every single listener will really have, just be well prepared to respond in all the ways you'd have them to respond, to do what you're calling them to do. Help us to be wise enough to seek you in prayer, to seek your wisdom, and to be able to say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And help us to be fully ready to do everything you call us to do to help with the great work of helping to stand boldly for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion, and help us to realize from the youngest child listening to the oldest adult, there's something we all can do. Our prayers, our volunteering, our maybe starting works or new works that you'd have us do, but help us to be wide open to whatever you're calling us to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And Seth, would you take time now specifically to pray for the church, for the leadership of the church, and for the church as a whole to really decide that they're going to get serious about doing everything God has called us as the church to do?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Yes. Father, we thank you for your church as plan A, not just for the proclamation of the gospel and the salvation of souls, but for discipleship and for standing against evil, for loving the vulnerable, the marginalized, the victimized, the unlovely, those that our society believes should be ignored. Thank you that your church has always stood against evil, and we ask today in the 21st century, as it's hard to even find definitions sometimes and categories for the evil that we see growing and infiltrating so much of society, that your people, your pastors in particular, leaders would preach boldly against evil, would preach the full counsel of God, and mobilize and disciple the people to do the works of the ministry, to stand against evil, to give even maybe to even give you a reason to show America mercy in these evil days. Embolden and empower your people. Disturb us, prick our consciences, so that we would be frustrated and disgusted by our own apathy, and thank you that you move when your people get involved. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Seth. So if someone wants to watch the movie and or get the book, tell them how to do that.
Yeah, thank you, brother. So the book that you're a lot of the homeschoolers and Christian educator listeners will appreciate this. The book is actually called The 1916 Project, The Lying, the Witch, and the War We're In. The Lying, the Witch, and the War We're In. That book comes out today, actually, today, Wednesday, September 4th. You can get the book on Amazon, or you can go to our website if you want your money to go to a pro-life ministry and not Amazon. And that would be the1916project.com, the1916project.com. And the film, brother, is actually screening exclusively right now in churches all around America. It's very exciting. My ministry, the White Rose Resistance, was birthed by and for the church, and we're now the fastest growing pro-life organization in the country. And we're focused on the church because the church is a solution to all of this evil and insanity, Pastor Joseph. And so the film comes out October 4th. With Angel Studios, and that will be exclusively for their guild members until the second half of October, when it will go streaming online for free on the Angel Studios app and on Twitter, on X, right before the election. But if you're listening to this and you want to screen this film at your church, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches screening the film around the country, multiple screenings a day in many instances, then you can go to the1916project.com, same website, and you can press host a screening. And you can host a screening at your church and invite people, and we'll give you a tour box shipped to your church and all the assets and media to pull this off. Or you can press attend a screening, and you can see if it's screening at a church near you. So get the book, the1916project.com, at the1916project.com. Get the book at the website, or film or screen the film at your church as well. And this, I'll tell you, this is a film and a project that is unlike anything you've ever seen or heard before in the pro-life and even broader culture war space, that really connects the dots on how we got here in this crazy culture, so that the church can learn how to get engaged, how to push back, and how to really eventually, ultimately, ban abortion in America.
Okay, and so if someone's listening in there thinking to themselves, well, that sounds like a neat project, but I'm not sure that I really would be able to follow the message in that movie. If someone was to respond to that way, why would you tell them they would be wise to go ahead and see it right now? You sort of answered that. Would you kind of expand on that a little bit more? Why is it helpful for believers to go look, watch it right now?
Yeah, amen. Well, Pastor Joseph, in Hosea 4:6, God says to his people, he says, "My people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge." For lack of knowledge. But it's an active term. God wasn't saying that you were destroyed. He said, "My people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge." We're being destroyed for lack of knowledge right now in the American church, Pastor Joseph. And I, as someone who's been honored to probably preach in more pulpits on Sunday morning on the issue of life in the last 3 years than anyone else in the world, I'll tell you that the number one response I get from believers after a Sunday morning service, all around the country, different cultures, different states, all around the country, is, "Seth, I've never heard any of that before. I've never heard any of that before. I had no idea. And we've had many brothers and sisters in the Lord who ended up getting involved in sidewalk counseling and pro-life work after hearing one of my messages. Many of them are saving babies now on a weekly basis outside of abortion centers, where they're graciously pleading for the life of the child and offering the help and love of the local church to that mom, because they learned about the evil behind this. I think about the sons of Issachar in First Chronicles, Pastor Joseph, and all we know about the sons of Issachar is it says they were men who understood the times they lived in. And so they knew what Israel ought to do, which is quite simple, right? With an understanding of the times you live in comes a responsibility and duty to act in accordance with what you know, to push back against evil. But what's the flip side of that? If you don't understand the times you live in, you won't know what the people of God ought to do. So we're being destroyed for lack of knowledge today. This project exposes many, if not all, of the best-kept secrets of the sexual revolutionaries and those that I call the architects of our culture of death today, who frankly, brother, have taken our strategy and flipped it upside down. They have done better at discipling the next generation into neo-pagan revivalism, into their religion, than we have done in the American church over the last 80 or 100 years to disciple the next generation to be dragon slayers, to stand for life, to stand for righteousness, to push back against evil. And we're seeing that in the American church in the next generation right now. The most sexually addicted, depressed, medicated, hopeless generation we've seen in America since the beginning of this country. And so we need believers who are going to preach the truth, engage the culture for life with a message of life, but you can't defeat an enemy you don't understand. And you can't destroy an enemy you don't know exists. If you don't know how the enemy of our souls operates, how he raises up human beings to be his advocates for death, if you don't understand the ideas that have destroyed this culture, how can you engage those ideas with the truth of the gospel? That's the answer to your question. This film and book begins to teach the church the things that they don't know, so they'll live like they've never lived before and join the line of the tribe of Judah on the battlefield.
You know, Seth, you've covered a lot of ground in the broadcast. I really appreciate you coming and sharing. And I think a critical truth for us as believers to be mindful of is that in life, whether we understand this or not, every issue is a discipleship issue. How do we honor God in that area or that issue? And as you've touched on, it's tragic to see how that the kingdom of darkness has been too effective in discipling young people in darkness. And too often we've seen people who say they love Jesus who've not been effective and passionate about discipling people in God's word and in the truth. So again, the need is discipleship, helping people to come to know the word and the will of God and to live it passionately as well. So again, appreciate you sharing that. Our time is just about gone. One more time, if someone wants to get the book or see the movie, tell them again how they can do that.
Thank you, brother. You can order the book, which releases today, Wednesday, September 4th, at the1916project.com. The book is called The 1916 Project, The Lying, The Witch, and The War We're In. And you can screen the film at your church anywhere around the country if your leadership will host a screening. And you can just press that button, host a screening at the1916project.com. You can get the book on Amazon as well if you prefer. It's been flying off the shelves, and we'd love your help. It's a great thing for small groups, for homeschool students, for co-ops, for Christian schools, educators, Protestant and Catholic teachers. But the film will really embolden, warm your heart, inspire you to stand. And it will come out streaming online free for the world in the second half of October, right before the election. And I'm telling you, we already have insurance expecting a libel lawsuit from Planned Parenthood. This is one of the most significant projects in the pro-life space. Thank you. You guys can go to the1916project.com.
All right. Well, Seth, again, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for listening to the Lord in doing both the project and the book. And just something I would hope every listener was challenged about is just the fact that in the midst of the work of the discipleship work of the church, we're to be educating ourselves and learning about issues from a Bible perspective and how to address them, as opposed to ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. The fact is we get left in the dust time and time again if we don't inform ourselves about issues, concerns, and challenges that we face. So please pray much for Brother Seth Gruber and for the upcoming the film, The 1916 Project, well, which is actually available now, but also for the book as it's released today as well. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today, and you know you've never invited Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Remember, the single most important decision in all of life is the decision to ask Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior and live for Him. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me and commit your life to Christ even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want you to get in touch with us. Please please do make that point. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord, and be able to put down roots deep in your new walk with Christ. Please, please get in touch with us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Seth, thanks so much for being with us. One more time, if someone wants to get the book or see the movie, tell them one more time how they can do that.
Thank you, brother. Go to the1916project.com.
All right. Thank you so much, and we look forward to having you back on the broadcast.
Thank you, brother. Bless you.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.